T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike, hour 3, let's go. And this hour of the show is being brought to you by Menards. You can save big money at Menards. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 10 o'clock. We're going to talk with our buddy Eli Herskovich, who works on this show, but also does a lot of college basketball work. Right now, we're going to talk with our buddy David Schuster, who covers the Bulls and the NBA for us here at The Score. We're happy to have him on the show. He joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Shu?
Looking forward to tomorrow night. Not 100% sure what's going to happen, obviously. It's always a crapshoot. But it's always fun, NBA drafts over all these years, whether it was at the Berto Center. Even before that, it was downtown at some of the hotels. And now, obviously, at the Advocate Center. It's always fun one way or another. So I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night.
And you're going to be a part of our draft coverage, correct, that we'll have on 670thescore.com, unless it's raining. And then it'll be on The Score, regular.
Yeah, and then even when the Cubs game is over, it switches over to the station, and I'll be anchoring that at that juncture. So one way or another, I'm involved, and I'll be in the thick of it, yes.
Who's the most interesting player in the draft?
Wow, that's a good one. I guess the most, you know, that's a loaded question how you would define interesting. I guess the European kid.
Luka Doncic?
Would be the first. Yeah, Luka Doncic would be the first one who comes to my mind. I mean, he's obviously an unknown, at least to the lay people, because we haven't seen him that much with our own eyes other than on videotapes. On videotape, he's certainly interesting and looks talented, but, you know, it's still not NBA talent that he's going up against. So that's always a question mark in my mind. But he's, you know, the European players, once upon a time, they were basically robots playing basketball. That's not the case anymore. You've seen too many good European players come over here and prove to be really NBA talents, and he might be the best of the bunch. We just have to wait and see. But, yeah, he would be the most interesting player in my mind.
Is it done that Aiden is going to go to the Suns at number one?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he merits it. First of all, from a marketing standpoint, listen, he went to high school in that area. He played right down the road, you know, at the University of Arizona. So it's just a natural. Plus, he is the number one player on the board. So, I mean, that's a fait accompli. Now, after that, that's where it becomes a crapshoot. It's funny because I look at these things from like about 3 weeks out, and every day it seemingly changes. I'm talking about the mock drafts. So, you know, each day it seems like it's changed. I mean, for a long time it looked like Sacramento was going to take Doncic, and then now all of a sudden Marvin Bagley has moved up to number two, supposedly. So, it's a crapshoot. But what I really always find intriguing, and I wish one of these days, just for the heck of it, I could sit up in somebody's war room, the Bulls or anybody else's, and just, it's got to be like a poker game table for all these guys, because you have to sort of anticipate what the guy in front of you is doing, much like you would with, you know, the guy across the table with a poker hand. So that's really what goes on here behind the scenes, and that's what the Bulls are probably trying to figure out right now. What are those teams doing in front of them so they can sort of make up their minds? And I wouldn't be shocked, Lawrence, if they have their mind set on whether it's Mo Bamba or somebody else. There is the possibility, and maybe even a strong possibility, of the Bulls moving up in this draft.
So packaging like that 22nd pick to, mm-hmm. to move up a couple of spots.
And if you take a look at it, you know, the rumor I've been hearing was Memphis specifically, and Atlanta can also fall into the same category. These are two teams that really don't have NBA rosters. Not that the Bulls roster is super great either, but Atlanta and Memphis has basically shredded their rosters the last couple of years, and it's void of a lot of talent, and they need more than one player to move them up the totem pole, meaning they need not only quality, but they need quantity. And Atlanta and Memphis, even more so, they might be willing to give up that number four pick for 7 and 22, get a couple of players that will help them a lot quicker maybe than even the one player does in their instance. Meanwhile, the Bulls are looking to hit potentially a home run here tomorrow night, whether it's Bamba or somebody else. I don't know who really they are coveting at this point, but that could easily happen tomorrow night. Or if they just, you know, want Michael Porter, he might just fall down to them at number seven. And I heard you talking earlier with Casey Johnson and some of the other folks they've been talking to. Are the Bulls now at the stage of maybe taking a gamble here? I think the answer is yes. I think John Paxson's been doing this long enough, and I just think he's now at the stage of his career and his life for taking a gamble here. Maybe Michael Porter turns out to be a Kevin Durant. Nobody knows, obviously, and no one knows for sure how his back's going to hold out either, but that might be the gamble they're willing to take.
Who's your favorite player in the draft?
Oh, boy. Well, it's not Trae Young. I know a lot of people say, well, he's the mad hatter who shoots from all over the court, but I'm just not a believer in his game. That's me personally. I'm intrigued by Porter. I mean, he was the number one player going into college, the number one player, and if he didn't get hurt, he might be the number one player in this draft. But, I mean, he basically played, a couple of minutes in one game and then was out for 3-plus or 4-plus months and then played those two games and at like 50 or 60%. And, he really showed nothing. So, I'm interested to see what this guy is all about. He certainly, if he was the talent that he was portrayed going into college and he could move that over to the pros, boy, he fits in like a glove to what the Bulls want to do, and he fits into like a glove also at the position that they need most. But again, he's just a question mark like so many other guys. I mean, nobody's 100%. There's no Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's or Lew Alcindor's coming into this draft, that's for sure. So there's a question mark. Even with Ayton, there's a question mark about him as well.
Yeah, he has some issues with defense.
Yep.
Like, he's not good on help side defense. He's not... For a guy that's clearly the best athlete on the floor, he doesn't rim protect the way that you would like him to. So I'm curious to see what he does, and maybe Tyson Chandler will still be there in Phoenix and can help him along with some of that stuff, because those are things that Tyson excelled at throughout his career.
Well, and one of the other knocks against Ayton is that, he doesn't put out 100% all the time. And, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I don't watch him on a game-in, game-out basis. That's what the scouts and the general managers, that's what they're paid to figure out. But he definitely has a ton of talent, and he fits in to what, I know the NBA is changing, and you want your big men to be more than just cogs in the middle. I mean, obviously you got Karl Anthony Towns up in Minnesota, and you have what I think is the best center in basketball right now is Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. These guys are more than just big bodies in the middle. They can go out in the court and shoot. I really do like Embiid. I think he's already the best center in basketball because he hustles like no tomorrow, and he can play both ends of the court. So that's what they're projecting Ayton to be potentially, but he's got a ways to go before he gets to that level.
Yeah, and with him, it's just a matter of, is he in shape at the end of games? Because he misses so many games that he was huffing and puffing in the playoffs at the end of games, and that would be a concern for me if I were a Philly person.
You're talking about Embiid?
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't watch him game in, game out. And, he didn't play against the Bulls the first couple of years in the NBA because he had different injuries or they were resting him. But he finally did play against the Bulls a couple of times this season. I was able to watch him very closely. What I really like about him, here's a 7'1" guy who's diving on the floor for loose balls. Matter of fact, there was one at the United Center where he was actually diving out of bounds for a loose ball. You don't see that from big guys. You just don't, more often than not. So, I don't know. I just think he's a fantastic talent. But, his ceiling's still in front of him as well. We'll have to wait and see on that.
What's the best part of covering the draft?
The intrigue, to be honest with you, and sometimes, what exactly they do. I mean, I remember the year that they got the two high school kids. Jerry Krause was still in charge, obviously, when they got Chandler and Curry. And it sort of became clear, not right away, but very shortly thereafter, you figured it out. And so sort of the intrigue, I mean, the curtains are closed upstairs here, specifically at the Advocate Center. You wonder what's going on behind the scenes. You could smell Jerry Reinsdorf's cigar, that's for sure. But beyond that, you don't know what's going on upstairs. So it's almost like you got to figure it out. You're following everybody on Twitter. You're listening to the TV coverage. And you're also using your own noggin to try and figure out what's going on as well. So just the intrigue, it's almost like a Rubik's Cube trying to put it together.
Do you think that they really do have a sense of did they have enough info on the guys that they traded for this past season to know exactly what they need?
Do they know that the three guys that they got in the trade for Jimmy Butler, what they now need going forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it doesn't take that kind of brain trust to know that the Bulls are lacking in certain areas. They need a wing player. I mean, you know, I'm not the first person to say that, nor will I be the last person. It's pretty obvious that's what they need, and they need somebody who can shoot from the outside. If they do hold on to both their picks, let's just say they do, it's possible they could get both of Mark Bartlestein's clients here in this area. I mean, Porter is obviously a Bartlestein client. That's why he's been working out here for God knows how long. He's a Bartlestein guy. And then it's been rumored forever and ever that Chandler Hutchinson from Boise State, there's sort of like this unwritten secret that's going on that the Bulls are going to take him if he's available at 22, and I think he's a Bartlestein guy also. So it's possible it could be those two guys if they don't make any kind of moves. But again, no one knows for sure in advance.
They're so taking Grayson Allen.
The stories will be endless about him kicking people. And by the way, those are just cheap shots. I mean, I don't want Grayson Allen, no offense. Although they do need a shooter. I will say that. I don't know if he's going to be successful at the pro level. I don't.
I think they're going to take it. No, I'm just kidding. David, I appreciate it. I look forward to the covers tomorrow.
And by the way, I heard you talking about Kevin Knox. I do really like Kevin Knox. He wasn't in shape himself also at stretches last year for Kentucky, but he's got a mid-range game. I really do like him. I think he's going to be a better player than most people think.
Hey, if you can be Andre Iguodala, I'm good with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You get some rings on your fingers.
You better believe it. Thanks, Shu.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
It's David Schuster, our Bulls beat reporter. Speaking of Grayson Allen and basketball, you know the person that he looks like. He looks like young Ted Cruz, right? I guess, and also Tom Ricketts. Ted Cruz, I don't know about Tom Cruise, but Ted Cruz played a charity basketball game against Jimmy Kimmel and gave Jimmy some buckets. I guess he won 11-9.
Did you watch it?
I didn't.
Please.
Really? Is it bad?
It's really bad.
Two guys that shouldn't be playing basketball?
It's the reason why it's enjoyable to watch is because it's just terrible, terrible basketball.
Is there any redeeming, like for example, like a guy might not be athletic, but he can shoot. Like, can Senator Cruz shoot? No?
No, not really. They're both kind of busters on the court.
So there's nothing but comedy gold.
Yeah, it's just comedy basketball.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair. I'm down with that. We're going to take a break. These guys that are up for the draft, our guy Eli Herskovich has seen all of them. He will do an extensive breakdown for you next here on The Score. This has been a lot of fun tonight, breaking down Bulls draft stuff. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions you want answered to WBBMNewsRadio.com/legal advice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com/legal advice. All the guests that we've had on the show, everyone that you've heard from, David Schuster, Casey Johnson, Cody Westerlin, Mark Chinowski, they cover the NBA, and they do it well. But we haven't really had someone on that covers college basketball. I dabble in it. But Eli Herskovich, who does a great job working on this show, been writing stuff for Sporting News, has his own podcast called Hersh on Hoops. I was listening to the latest episode today, and I highly recommend that you do too. It gave me the idea to have him on. Yo, Eli, turn down the bass and let the beat just keep rocking. He doesn't understand that reference because he's like 24 years old. Hey, Eli, you're on The Score. What's up?
What's going on, Lawrence? Thanks for having me on.
It's all good, man. I was listening to her show on Hoops today, and I enjoyed it. So I was wondering if I can break down some of these guys with you. Let's start with Trae Young. What do you believe Trae Young is, and what can he be?
Yeah, I think he could be – I mean, there's such a high ceiling and such a low floor with him. The issue with Trae Young in college, being an 18-year-old freshman at Oklahoma, was a lot of pressure on that sort of a player that's going to get a ton of shots in a physical Big 12 conference. He exceeded all, beyond expectations in non-conference play, putting up 20-plus points against Wichita State, burning through Northwestern as well in non-conference play. But then when it came to Big 12 play, he struggled a bit. He still led the country in points per game, still led the country in assists per game. So, and another stat too that I brought up with you is that he was double-teamed a lot. Across half court, he was double-teamed about 45% of the time. So people say, well, he turned the ball over too much. The forcing up the shots thing, I agree with. In their tournament loss, in the first round of the NCAA tournament, he took Oklahoma out of the game down the stretch in overtime, forcing up 30-foot three-pointers. So that part has to be refined in the NBA, and you got to think with the amount of pressure that's going to be taken off of him to be a role player early on, or at least a fourth or a fifth option in an offense, it's going to be different. But and the turnovers too. So I think the pressure on Trae Young that people are putting on him that, well, he can't play in the NBA. He's not going to be the next Steph Curry. I don't think he has to be the next Steph Curry, but he has to be able to attack in the paint against physical NBA post guys if he's going to drive and create, as well as being able to play against physical perimeter guys, which he showed he couldn't do in the Big 12 play, like a Chicago native in Javon Carter from West Virginia.
Yeah, Javon Carter is going to have a watch party tomorrow in the city. You should actually, you know what? You should go cover that tomorrow, Eli.
I'll do a draft broadcast from Javon Carter's house. He'd be a phenomenal interview, so I'm down for that, Lawrence.
No, I mean, I'm being serious. Like, he's literally having a draft party, and I think it'll be open. He's gonna have a party tomorrow at Quest Multisport.
All right, then I will consider it. I know we have the draft broadcast going at the Score from the Advocate Center that I'll be doing some stuff with. But if there's time, I'm down to go check it out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he gets drafted. He's one of my favorite players from a defensive standpoint. I really, really liked him at all. Can Trae Young play defense at this level?
That's a tough question. I would. Right now, until he proves it, I would say no. From what we saw in Big 12 play against some of the better guards in the conference, like a Devontae Graham from Kansas, again, Javon Carter as well, he burned him up in two of those matchups between West Virginia and Oklahoma. And until he proves it, offensively, I think he can prove people wrong. But defensively, I would say no.
Okay. Let's talk about Mo Bamba. What do you like? What don't you like?
So first off, what we've seen from Mo Bamba in the draft combine and in his draft prep is he's stretching the floor, which he did on occasion at Texas under Shaka Smart, but not to the extent that he's doing right now. He's worked on his 3-point game, but the issue with me, and everyone says, well, he's a hell of a rim protector. He was fifth in the country in block rate, but it's a lot easier to get away with bad post defense in college than it is in the NBA. I know his frame, his wingspan is ridiculous, but he bites a lot on pump fakes. He has bad post defense. So while the size can make up for that, and it still can do that a bit when you're about 7 feet in the NBA, when you don't play great post defense, I think you can get burned by that. So by a lot of Bulls fans who are saying, oh, move up for Mo Bamba, it's a done deal. He has a high floor in the NBA. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think defensively he has ways to go. Offensively, I think he's got to improve his ability to score consistently and in stretches. He wasn't a dominant player offensively at Texas, and he's a really good rebounder. But again, you can get away with an inability to play defense in college, and you've seen this a ton broadcasting DePaul games, Lawrence, than you can in the NBA when you don't play post defense that well.
What do you think of Kevin Knox?
Kevin Knox, I would say, is the rawest prospect in the top 10. And it might be odd for people to think that because, well, you have Trae Young and you have the guy we just talked about in Mo Bamba. But I actually talked with Kevin Knox 2 years ago back at the McDonald's All-American game. And I saw him play there with a DePaul target at the time. And I loved Kevin Knox's game. The turnover thing is my biggest issue with him. His assist to turnover ratio averages about 0.6 assists per turnover. So if you're asking him to create right away in the NBA along with what he needs to develop, I think you're asking a lot. But in terms of his shooting, everyone says he needs to improve on that. He's a 77% free throw shooter. I expect him to be a lot better shooter in the NBA than people give him credit for. Again, this is an 18-year-old player, just like Trae Young. Mo Bamba's a little bit older, but these are prospects that are still young, and they need time to develop. So I think Kevin Knox's shot is there, and from the free throw line, I think he'll improve that slowly in the NBA. You know, shot about 35% from three in college at Kentucky, and I think also Kentucky's overall three-point issues. They were one of the worst teams among the elite teams in college basketball shooting-wise last season, and Kevin Knox fit in that group a little bit, but still shot about 45% from the field. So I would say his ability to create, he needs to improve on, but as a raw prospect, if I wouldn't take him at number seven if I'm the Bulls, if that's what you're asking. But if I'm the Knicks and the 76ers, I would sure as hell consider it.
Okay, so why wouldn't you take him? If you were to take him a couple picks after, why wouldn't you take him at seven?
I guess I'm sold, and there's rumors today that Wendell Carter could be taken through the fourth or seventh pick. I like Wendell Carter a lot more just from what the Bulls need. And while people say, well, they have Lauri Markkanen and you don't need another forward, I think Wendell Carter would be a perfect fit at the five. He's a stretch five, so a stretch and catch guy along with Lauri Markkanen, but he's a much defender. So from what the Bulls need, I would much rather have them fill that need with a big, whether it is Bamba, if he somehow fell, even though I mentioned my criticism with him, there's still time to develop, and he has plenty of that. Along with Carter, I would rather see them take a big and be able to play inside out with Lauri Markkanen, a guy that can play on the block, as well as stretching it from three, than I would them rather see take a raw prospect in Kevin Knox.
What do you believe about Michael Porter Jr.?
I'm not sold on him compared himself to Tracy McGrady, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Durant. I think he has the skill set. Obviously, the injury concern is there, but he's such a cocky person. You know, everyone always says, or at least this week in the last couple of weeks, well, he'll make great for sports talk radio in Chicago if he gets drafted, and he sure as heck will. But it's from the way he was, from what I've heard back and when he was doing workouts and playing AAU ball back in middle school, compared to what he is now, he's just an overly cocky person. And what player isn't going to defend their health along with what they compare themselves to? But then you look at some of the comparisons from talent evaluators. They're talking about Keith Van Horn and players like that. They're not comparing him to Kevin Durant from the get-go. They're talking about swing men like that. So Porter still has a lot more to prove than I think he actually realizes. And also back to the injury, the hip injury for me that was originally connected back to the back, going back to October when he first exited that game in Missouri's opener of the college basketball season. And no one realized it until that game that it was connected to the back. And then right now, over the last couple of weeks, there's been the hip injury that's popped up again. So I'm concerned about the injuries, and I'm also concerned a little bit about his character going into the NBA.
You know, Keith Van Horn played for 11 years in the league.
He was a solid player, but people are talking about Porter.
I just, when you brought up the name, I was like, man, how long did Keith play? And he played for 11 years in the league. Wow.
That's a heck of a role player. Him and Robert Horry are probably two of my favorites. That don't get as much credit as they deserve. Keith Van Horn didn't hit game-winning shots in the NBA Finals, but I still love his role-playing ability.
Keith Van Horn had a season where he averaged 22 a game. He averaged 16 and 7 for his career.
That's what people think about Keith Van Horn. It's definitely not those numbers.
No, he hit 36% from three, too.
It's impressive. But again, back to Porter, the expectations are so high going into the NBA. And I know you bring up those numbers. So obviously when people, if Michael Porter averaged 16-7 in the NBA, I really don't think, I mean, if the Bulls took him at number seven and you wanted an average four for Michael Porter, sure, 16-7 would be fine. But the expectations going into the NBA is, well, he's going to be a five-time All-Star. He's going to help you win a title and be potentially the next Kevin Durant, win a couple scoring titles based off his health issues over the last couple of weeks and going back to the regular season. That's too concerning for me to take him if I'm the Bulls or, you know, someone in the top four or five picks.
Mikal Bridges.
I love his game too. You know, he's a heck of a shooter. He was 31st in college basketball in true shooting percentage, and people always talk about his defense, but this is one of the best shooters going back to last season, and he was also 12th on KenPom in offensive rating. So this is my first mention of KenPom during this interview, so I will take advantage of that. You know how much I love KenPom. It brings more advanced stats into analyzing college basketball players. And you talk about some of the better players last year in college basketball in Trae Young and so on, but Michael or Mikal Bridges was right there among those guys. So I love his game, but the ceiling is my issue. If you're talking about taking a player in the top eight, top ten picks, I would take him in the latter half of the top ten. But if you're talking about again wanting a guy with a high ceiling, I see him being max in the NBA. 15-6, something like that, which is solid again, but
so Keith
I
Van
want a
Horn.
Guy with a higher ceiling.
You see him as Keith Van Horn. We have now established that is the Keith Van Horn comp. I hope he's a better three-point shooter than Keith Van Horn, but yes, that'd be fine. Is there a player at seven that the Bulls could draft that we're not talking about?
I guess we mentioned Kevin Knox. We mentioned Mikal Bridges. Another guy that would probably be outside of that would be Colin Sexton, the Alabama point guard. I think he's a little too similar to Chris Dunn. They actually remind me, they're pretty much one another's player comp. Colin Sexton, a really solid on-ball defender, can score it in stretches, but an inconsistent shooter, which is what Chris Dunn was at Providence. And then a guy a little bit outside of that, let's say the Bulls decided to trade down, maybe to the Clippers, two first-round picks or something along those lines. Say Gildas Alexander, the Kentucky point guard, is not getting enough love. I think he's going to be a steal wherever he gets taken. A really solid point guard, really came along in the latter half of the season for Kentucky. Similar to Kevin Knox, again, a solid point guard, can shoot the ball a little bit. So I think whoever takes Say Gildas Alexander, it could be the steal of the draft, could be the next. What Louisville's guy was for last year that turned into a potential Rookie of the Year candidate this year.
Who's the best player in the draft?
DeAndre Ayton, for me, watching him at Arizona, and a player that compares to this for people, for anybody who's trying to look for the next stud in college basketball next year, Bol Bol for Oregon, the five-star. Him and DeAndre Ayton compare one another to me a little bit because they both look lackadaisical at times. They both look disinterested. You go back to that Buffalo NCAA tournament game for Arizona where DeAndre Ayton checked out of the game, it seemed like, along with Alonzo Trier, and some people thought that might hurt his draft stock, but he's probably going to be the number one pick. The likelihood is he'll be taken number one, and it's very well deserved. He was the best player in college basketball to me last season overall. Just a heck of a rebounder. And also, he wasn't utilized as much as he should have been. We saw this a ton last year in college basketball and seemingly every season. Guys like Marvin Bagley in the NCAA tournament against Kansas. You go back to, I think it was a Saturday night game against Oregon, where he was putting up monster numbers, 30-10 along those lines. And they just went away from him throughout the contest. Sean Miller wasn't coaching that game because of the allegations between him and Payne, DeAndre Ayton. But there were games where Sean Miller also went away from Ayton, and he did the same thing with Larry Markin in the tournament. So I love DeAndre Ayton's game. I think Luka Doncic is number two for me. Not that I don't love Bagley, but Luka Doncic is going to be a hell of a point guard in this league. Can run an offense for a while. If the Kings are able to get him at number four, to be able to have him and Mike Conley in the same backcourt is arguably some of the best playmaking guys in the NBA for the next foreseeable future, along with Marc Gasol. Those are some of the best passers that we're going to see next season as a trio. But the best overall player to me is DeAndre Ayton.
Eli, thanks for the hard work, man. I enjoyed the podcast today. I thought your guest was great, too. You guys were doing a real good breakdown of the draft. If I had to ask you who you thought the Bulls were going to pick, who would you say they're going to pick?
You know, it's who I want them to pick, and I do think they are going to take Wendell Carter. You know, there are rumors today that they're trying to move up. So another guy that we haven't discussed, let's say they are able to move up to number four, Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State. Hasn't worked out for Memphis, so Memphis could be looking to trade that pick. I think it's going to be Wendell Carter, you know, assuming they stay at the number seven spot and Carter isn't overdrafted. But it could be Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State, too. That's a true stretch big. Fourth in college basketball in block rate, so everyone talks about Mo Bamba, but Jackson was arguably a better shot blocker, a better rim protector last year. Can stretch it as had a true shooting percentage, about 64%, and that's solid for a big man. I know everyone talks about, well, you know, he's shooting short jump shots, so you know it's going to be a high percentage. But he shot 96 threes last year, so I think Jackson is a possibility if they move up. I would love to see that pick. I think if they do move up, it's going to be for Jackson. But if they stay at number seven, I think it's going to be Wendell Carter, who can also stretch the floor, a really solid rebounder. And he was, if you go back to last season at Duke, he was, you know, playing alongside Marvin Bagley III. His ability to maximize his talents in college weren't there because you had a guy that needed the ball. And Wendell Carter was unselfish in that sense. And you go back to along with the defense for Duke, Marvin Bagley needed to play in his own defense or else he was going to get exposed. And Wendell Carter can play in a man-to-man or zone. So, I think it's going to be Carter if they stay at seven or Jaren Jackson Jr. if they somehow move up to four or if he somehow slips.
All right, Eli, thanks for jumping on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lawrence.
It's Eli Hershkovich. Hersh on Hoops. He's so hyped right now. He's like, yeah, got that 10 minutes in. College basketball chatter. Save that for Hersh on Hoops next episode. It's a really good podcast, by the way. That guy, like, all he does is consume basketball. So I'm glad that he was able to make it work. We'll take a break. When we come back, Julie's in the house. It's next here on The Score. This segment being brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep, a new Tomorrow hybrid mattress crafted by the experts at Serta Simmons. Visit gettomorrowsleep.com. Use code TRAFFIC4 for $125 off when you spend $500 or more. Julie DeCaro is in the house because Julie's show is coming up after mine. What's up, Jules?
What's up?
Have you been just watching soccer?
I have.
Crazily.
I've been getting up really early to watch soccer and then going to sleep at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Me too.
It's fun.
Get a good nap in after all of this stuff. It's fun. Like I've enjoyed this. And once we get to the knockout round, it's kind of like the beginning of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Even though no one's getting knocked out, at least not yet. It's so fun to have live sports on in the middle of the day.
It's really fun. And it's been such a unexpected result in almost every game. It was like, you know, I keep saying, have we finally achieved world soccer parity?
No, United States men's national team. We have not reached parity just yet. I don't think.
It's been fun though.
It has. I love it. Like I love being able to be like, oh yeah, there's a match on right now. I can watch this match and hang out a little bit and enjoy myself and watch some of the different styles that are out there. Watch some great performances and some terrible acting. There is some diving that is going on. Today, what was it? Someone got like tapped on the shoulder and just fell forward. And just, it's like, come on, man.
There's an art to it.
Did you ever embellish when you were playing soccer?
I've only started seeing that from women in the very past few years.
Yeah,
I don't think women do that.
You're right. It's like you're so right about that. Like you watch the women's team, if it's a legit foul, like, you know, it's a legit foul. But you rarely see them diving the way that some of these dudes are.
And girls' high school and college soccer is so ridiculously brutal that if you get taken down, you don't have to dive. because girls just destroy each other out there.
What's that about? Because I've noticed that too.
I think it's about not being able to take out aggression during your regular life, so you save it all for the field. Like, women are expected to, you know, tamp it all down and just accept it and roll with it.
What's the worst violation that you had as a player? Did you get someone good when you were playing?
My dad tossed me once, I think. Or it was a second yellow. My dad used to ref a lot of my games in high school.
And he threw you out of a game?
I don't know if he threw me out or if it was like a yellow card.
How mad were you when that happened?
Oh, I was real mad. Real mad.
That would, oh my God.
I do remember fighting with him in the car on the way home about why he... But, you know, the worst thing for women is we used to French braid our hair and duct tape it to the back of our, to our backs on the skin so that nobody could yank it, because that's the worst. Girls just grab it and yank it.
Was it a few years ago where there was like a notorious college player that was doing that?
Yes. There was video of it like all over the place, like on Deadspin and everything.
She's like just cranking these girls like down to the ground. It's just horrible.
It's brutal.
So what team are you rooting for?
I am rooting for France.
Okay.
Allez. But at this point, I'm just sort of rooting for chaos.
Okay.
Once Iceland hung in there, once Mexico hung in there, I was just like, blow it up. Let's go.
Did you see what happened down in Mexico? Like the moment when they scored the goal?
Yes.
Did they hit the Richter scale?
It was
people
amazing.
Jumping up and down?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Pretty great.
It's really, really crazy stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see like a team like South Korea, like, advance, or you know what I mean? Like, just someone that you're not quite expecting to get there and do some cool
stuff.
It might
be Mexico.
And that's what do you think of the Landon Donovan stuff?
Ugh. I think Landon Donovan will do anything if you put enough money in front of him.
That seems to be the deal.
Here's what bothered me about it. I mean, first of all, it's a rivalry. So, I mean, there's that part of it. But for him to be doing it in the middle of this enormous discussion we're having about how we treat Mexican immigrants in this country, it just to me was so tone deaf. And I'm sure they probably had it set out ahead of time. And
he's playing down there, right? Isn't that what he's playing in the pro league?
But I think he just got bounced from his team. I think he's probably done.
It has been a weird 3 years for Landon Donovan.
I know. I can't stand Landon Donovan.
I didn't know that your hate ran that deep.
Well, I think he was an overrated player, and don't tell me how many goals he scored. I don't care. In the way he acted when he didn't make the Jurgen Klinsmann's team, to me, was just ridiculous.
Okay.
He acted like a child.
Yeah, the Klinsmann years of, well, you know what? That's enough. I'm trying really hard not to keep going over this because it just frustrates me. Like I picked my two teams. I made my choices.
Mm-hmm. Who are you rooting for?
I'm rolling with your partner, Maggie, with Belgium.
Okay.
And the Red Devils, because Red Devils, Blue Demons, and Senegal.
Senegal.
So, you
Fun.
Know. Yeah. Did you see the Senegal fans were like cleaning up?
I know. Isn't that nice?
Like, who does that?
I
like,
know.
That's so nice.
They're so glad to be there.
I'm like,
good guests.
Yeah.
I know. Can you imagine Americans doing that?
No.
No.
I was an American in a ballpark this weekend and I didn't do that.
Nope.
Although I did take my lemonade with me. It's so hot.
So my oldest son has a job now in the movie theaters.
Oh, is he cleaning up popcorn
yes.
and stuff?
And he comes home every night upset and screaming about people who don't pick up their stuff.
He is learning some life lessons.
Yep. And he's like, I don't even know what this is. It looks like popcorn mixed with sweet tarts mixed with Pepsi, you know.
Don't tell him that I'll be sneaking stuff in.
No, I don't think he cares about that.
I'm a salty sweet guy. So, you know, like, you know, you hit up the Target, man, you can get what you need for like $2. Get a little thing of pretzels and some M&M's and you pour them in and you're good to go.
It's the best combination in the world.
Don't tell anyone. But whenever when I go to the Icon Theater over here on Roosevelt Road, mm-hmm. The Target's like right next door. Like, you're just asking me to bring stuff in. You know what's a good combo for me lately is Cheez-Its and M&M's.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Lawrence, that sounds awful.
It's really good.
Well, I guess it's not that different than the Chicago mix.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't have popcorn because I got the Crohn's. So
cheese and
I
sweet.
Can't do. And that's what there are two things that I really miss having Crohn's. Popcorn, like movie theater popcorn, and cashews.
Oh, I have a bag of cashews right now.
Salty cashews are like my favorite, but it could kill me. So I try to stay
man.
Away from it. Or if I have it, I can't. Like, I can have it, right? But
you'll pay for it.
I'll pay for it, or I have to eat them like one at a time, really slowly, chewing them as well as I can.
I'm like missing a bile duct now. So like I can't eat bad, greasy food. It makes me sick.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
So
I keep trying it. It keeps not working out.
No, it's not going to work good for you. You got to stop. So you got to be on the brat diet for a little while.
No, I don't want to do that.
What's the greasy food that you now are longing for?
Like it's always pizza. It just doesn't go down well. It doesn't sit down there well. It doesn't come out well.
It's a hard situation. That's a tough thing because, you know, tomatoes cause inflammation and you got all that stuff. And then depending on what your toppings are, like you a pepperoni gal, are you sausage?
Only if it's Aurelio's. Otherwise it's sausage. But it doesn't matter.
I'm a warm versus hot pizza guy. Like I want my pizza almost like room temperature instead of like piping hot.
Oh, it gets all like congealed.
Yeah, and the flavors congeal. What I don't want is the cheese and the sauce burning my mouth.
or sliding off together.
And then be on your chin like hot, 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 hot. Who do you want the Bulls to draft? You made up your mind?
I don't know. I'm still trying to decide. I mean, look, all I wanted was for there to be enough guys that they couldn't screw it up. Which it seems like might be the situation. Although I was just reading the four most like boom or bust players in this draft, and every single person the Bulls are connected to is in that list. So I don't know. I'm just kind of watching.
Okay.
I don't have an opinion. Who do you want him to draft?
I want Mikal Bridges, but I can be talked into Kevin Knox. If they end up with Michael Porter, I think it's a risky pick, but I would give Pax credit for swinging.
What do you think about Mo Bamba? You think he's going to be there?
I don't. I think he'll be gone. I don't trust that he's going to turn into Joel Embiid. I think it's more likely that he's Tyson Chandler, that he's a guy that plays great defense for a really long time in the league, but doesn't give you some of the other stuff
so
that you need.
So his comp, according to 435, is Nerlens Noel.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Ben Simmons or Michael Beasley.
Ben Simmons, I mean, they found a bunch of guys who can't shoot. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the Bulls being able to draft. I just, you know, it's like it doesn't really matter if drafting in the lottery if you are going to screw it up. So I'm just waiting to see if they screw it up.
It'll be a good question. It really will. What are you going to do on the show tonight?
We're going to start off with NBA draft stuff. Kyle Boone from CBS Sports is going to be here. And then later on, we're going to move on to baseball. David Schuster will be here to talk Cubs and Sox. And a stupidest injury you've ever had. What's yours?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday because, you know, you take your pants off and then all of a sudden your back doesn't hurt.
But if you're like over 35, you know exactly what that's about.
That's what I was trying to tell people that. And the kids were looking at me weird, and I was like, "You're just not there yet." Waiting, and I would say it's 30. I see once you get to 30, like you have those moments of like, "Wait a minute, I tried to take an extra stair, and all of a sudden my knee locked up on me. I used to be able to jump up the stairs."
Well, and it's worse if you were an athlete because all those old injuries come back to get you.
For sure.
If you were like a person who spent your teenage years on the couch, you're gonna be fine.
Well, the worst part now is, for me, it's the soreness after sleeping. Like that, like that's the worst. Like it's like I was asleep. Like I was supposed to be getting rested, and now all of a sudden I can't turn my neck one way or the other. So that'll be fun. You're gonna have a fun time with that discussion.
Yeah,
ah.
Oh no.
I have a
water
lid
in the control room.
I have a lid. A little bit got out.
Tisk tisk, Lawrence.
A little bit got out.
It's fine. I didn't see anything.
I'll
it's like ice
it
to me.
You know me. I like to clean up the studio.
I appreciate it.
Julie, I'm looking forward to your show on the ride home. Julie DeCaro is coming up next. She'll be on until midnight. I won't be on tomorrow because we have either Bulls draft stuff or a Cubs-Cincinnati game if the weather permits. Maybe I'll be on Friday because it looks like it's going to rain in Cincinnati all weekend long.
Ugh.
For real, for real. Okay. Julie is up next. Share your dumb injuries with her. I'm out. Hit up the House of L podcast if you haven't checked it out. The latest episode is with me and Cheryl Scott. It's really good. It's in my Twitter profile, at Lawrence W. Holmes, if you want to check it out. Peace.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Pizza!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.